Good morning. There's nothing better to start a study of the Word of God than to think of that wonderful palace that is being prepared for us, those who strive to be faithful to Him. And it's good to be able to meet with others who have that same desire to be faithful to the Lord and to be found in heaven throughout all eternity. And you know, we really can't even begin to comprehend the things that are prepared for us, the things that God has set before us, without looking to His Word, without trying to gain an understanding of what it says. We read in Matthew chapter 28 of the commission that the Lord gave to them. In Matthew chapter 28, there in verse 19, He says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age." Here we see Jesus' plan to send His Word throughout the world so that many could receive that promise of that wonderful city of God. They could look to that with the hope and desire of being faithful to God and to the end. And here we see that the gospel was to go throughout the entire world. We read in the book of Matthew there that it was to go into all the nations. We read in Mark's account that it was to go into all creation. Mark 16 there. In verse 15. And we look at that and think about who He's talking to. He's talking to, well, at that time, just 11 apostles. Judas had killed himself. There were just the 11 apostles that were left there with Him that He's speaking to and telling them, "You go into all the world." And we would look at that task and we would go, well, that's impossible. How in the world could 11, soon to be 12 as we see in the book of Acts, how in the world could they go and preach the gospel? To make disciples of all the nations. And so this morning and on into this evening, I want to look at the spread of the gospel. We want to look at how the gospel was spread throughout the first century, how the gospel continued to be at work and to be a force of turning people to the Lord throughout the Middle Ages, and how it can continue to do so today. And so let's begin looking this morning at the spread of the gospel throughout the Scriptures. And so as we look at these things, we noted once again in Matthew chapter 28 the Great Commission. And in Luke, we have some similar things being said there. He does not repeat the Great Commission, but in Luke chapter 24, there beginning in verse 46, Luke records for us, he says, "And he said to them, thus it is written, that the Christ would suffer and rise again from the dead the third day. And that repentance for forgiveness of sins would be proclaimed in His name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things, and behold, I am sending forth the promise of my Father upon you, but you are to stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high." This is the words that Luke records, that the charge that was given to the apostles, stay here in the city and you're going to receive power and you're going to proclaim Jesus Christ unto all the nations, beginning from Jerusalem. Now as we go on in the writings of Luke, we can go on and look in Acts chapter 1, where he gives a little bit more info into what is being given to the apostles there at this last meeting of Christ before He ascended into heaven. In Acts chapter 1, Luke is continuing his account to Theophilus that he had begun with the book of Luke. And in verse 6 of Acts chapter 1, we read, "So when they had come together, they were asking him, saying, Lord, is it at this time you are restoring the kingdom of Israel? He said to them, it is not for you to know times or epochs which the Father has fixed by His own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria, and even to the remotest part of the earth." Once again, this is a large charge that is given to the disciples, to the apostles here. These individuals that are gathered with Him there before He is ascending into heaven, and these 11 apostles are given this charge. You wait here, the Holy Spirit's going to come, and then you're going to preach the gospel throughout all Judea. He said it's going to begin in Jerusalem. And then it's going to be spreading throughout Judea. This is what Luke tells us in Acts. Throughout Judea. And then on into Samaria. And then to be carried throughout the remotest part of the earth. You know, that phrase we oftentimes We just gloss over and go, well, there's no way that they could travel the earth. Really? There was no way that they could go and to preach the gospel throughout all the world? I firmly believe that they accomplished the task that was set before them. That the charge that they were giving was to go out and to preach the gospel. But what about those that they didn't get to? What about those who lived and died before the apostles were able to go out and to preach the gospel? Or those that were taught by the apostles were able to go out and to preach the gospel? Well, you know, one thing that we might ask is, where were the Israelites taken when they were carried off into captivity? The Israelites, the northern kingdom of Israel, was spread throughout the Assyrian Empire. The central part of civilization. They were spread to the furthest borders of the Assyrian Empire. And it was during the Assyrian Empire's reign, and later we can see with the Babylonian Empire, which covered much of the same area, that the Jews began meeting in synagogues, and guess what they would do on the Sabbath in those synagogues? They read the Word of God. They read the Scriptures that told of God. They read the Scriptures that prophesied of a Savior. They read the promises of Abraham. The promise to Isaac, the promise to Jacob, that in their seed all nations of the world will be blessed. Throughout this area, Jews were spread. Even during the Babylonian Empire, Jews remained in the Egyptian kingdom. The Jews had been spread throughout these areas, and they began to teach God in their synagogues. It was these very Scriptures that were being read, Isaiah chapter 53, that tells of the sufferings of the Savior. It was these very Scriptures that were being read in the synagogue that gave Timothy the faith that he needed to believe in Jesus Christ. Do you believe that Timothy's mother and grandmother had a copy of the Scriptures? No. The Old Testament Scriptures were not something that you could have in your own home. It was not something anyone could afford. They went to the synagogue and they read of these things. And that's what Paul said, from childhood, you have known the sacred writings, which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. This same words that Timothy received that led to his belief in Jesus Christ was being read throughout all the Assyrian and Babylonian Empire. The same Old Testament Scriptures that Philip used to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ to the Ethiopian eunuch. He says, then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning from this Scripture, he preached Jesus to him. These are the very Scriptures that were being read in these synagogues. And so we can see that the knowledge of God, the knowledge of a saving God, the knowledge of Almighty God was available, was spread by the Jews throughout a large portion of the world. Knowledge of God that was available. Knowledge that was there to lead to Christ. But let's go back to the apostles in the first century. And we noted that it was to begin in Jerusalem, spread throughout Judea and then on into Samaria and then to the furthest parts of the earth. And when we look at this, we can look in Acts chapter 2 when the first gospel sermon is being preached. And it's interesting to look and to note the places where people were coming from. We read in verse 9 of Acts chapter 2, the Parthians and Medes and Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt, and the districts of Libya around Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes. Now when we look at these things and look at where they were throughout the Roman Empire, we can see that they spread throughout the area of the Roman Empire. And let me just pose a question for you. When the apostles were given the charge to go into all the world and to preach the gospel, to baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, what was the additional charge that they were given? After having baptized them, what were they to do? He said, and then you teach them all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And so after teaching them the need of obeying the gospel, the power of the blood of Jesus Christ, what were they to teach them? Go and teach others. Go and baptize. And so as these returned to their home, what were they doing? They were spreading the gospel. They were beginning churches in their hometowns.
And so as they return, we can see that they continue to charge, they continued in the charge to present the gospel to the lost that were around them, beginning and spreading. This is just from what we read in Acts chapter 2. When these finally returned to their homes, they continued in spreading the gospel. These areas were at the very edges of the Roman Empire, spreading on, India is just right here. China and Russia is just right above that. We can see there just in Acts 2 and the events that occurred there, the gospel went from there and spread into these areas. When the Ethiopian eunuch returned to Ethiopia, do we believe that he remained silent about the salvation that he had received? Or do we believe that Philip did what had been charged to him to baptize and then teach them all things whatsoever I've commanded you? And so as we can see here, the gospel has already begun to spread throughout the Roman Empire. And we can see that the effect of the gospel, the preaching of the gospel, was great. In Acts chapter 8, following the persecution of Stephen and Saul of Tarsus beginning to wreak havoc upon the church, we read in verse 4, those who have been scattered went about preaching the word. And that's the last we read about this until you skip through a couple of chapters. We go through and we read about Peter and Cornelius and the conversion of Saul. But if you go on over into Acts chapter 11, we read the furthering of what's going on. Then those who were scattered, verse 19, because of the persecution that occurred in connection with Stephen. Luke is making the connection. Here, these people I talked about in chapter 8, verse 4, this is what they went out and did. Made their way to Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, spreading the word to no one except the Jews alone. But there were some of them, men of Cyprus and Cyrene, who came to Antioch and began speaking to the Greeks also, preaching the Lord Jesus. And so we can see from Acts chapter 8, when Saul was wreaking havoc upon the church and they were scattered throughout the world preaching the gospel, they continued on everywhere they went. You know, we can look at the Apostle Paul. In the life of the Apostle Paul, we can see that he traveled further and spreading the gospel than anyone else recorded in the Scriptures. We see Paul covered more ground than anyone else that we have recorded. We look in his first missionary journey, and let's remember that he obeyed the gospel there in Damascus, having it preached to him, and he went from there to Jerusalem, and he tried to join himself to the the Christians there in Jerusalem, and eventually Barnabas stood up for him, and what did Paul do? He was preaching the gospel there in Jerusalem. When there was those that wanted to kill him, they sent him to his hometown of Tarsus. Now, if you look at the years that are going on, he's in Tarsus for almost 9 years. And let me ask you a question. Knowing the Paul that we read of throughout the Scriptures, you reckon he was sitting in his hometown not preaching? For those 9 years, do you think Paul was just sitting there going, "Man, I'm just itching to tell somebody the gospel"? No, knowing the Paul that we read of throughout the Scriptures, he was very zealous in his preaching of the gospel. So he preached the gospel in Tarsus. There was concern of the Christians in Antioch and Jerusalem. The church of Jerusalem sent Barnabas up to Antioch. He went up and got Saul. And beginning from there, we begin his missionary journeys with him traveling through Cyprus preaching the gospel, coming up to Perga, Pamphylia, and beginning to preach in Antioch, Iconium, Lystra, and Derbe. And then preaching in Perga on his return, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. From there, of course, he goes down to Jerusalem because of the dissension that arose in Antioch. But leaving Antioch, he goes back up through, taking Silas back through Tarsus, where he had preached for 9 years. And then going back through the churches of Galatia, encouraging them, going on and preaching the gospel in Philippi, reaching into the borders of the European continent. Preaching the gospel in Philippi, Thessalonica, Berea, Athens, and Corinth. Going on and preaching briefly in Ephesus, but not getting to spend the time with them that he wanted. He goes back to Jerusalem. We go into his third missionary journey, and he leaves Antioch once again and goes through and encourages the Christians, and then spends 3 years preaching the gospel in Ephesus. And note what's said about him during that period of time where he is in Ephesus, where he's preaching there at the school of Tyrannus. What is said there? The gospel was spread throughout all the Roman province of Asia. Now, in just over 2.5 to 3 years, his efforts spread the gospel throughout this area. Once again, you reckon when he was there in Tarsus for almost 9 years that there wasn't some effect that was done there? And so we see he continues and he preaches the gospel, even going so far to having the opportunity to preach the gospel in Sicily, portions of Italy, and preaching the gospel in Rome. We look at the extent that Paul went, and that's not all. You see, Paul had a desire to preach the gospel in many places. And he had the opportunity to preach the gospel in many places, in the area of Judea and Cilicia. The area of Antioch, he preached on Cyprus, he preached in Galatia, he preached in Asia, he preached in Macedonia. He preached in Achaia, he preached on Crete, Sicily, Italy, and even went on to Spain. We don't oftentimes look at the extent of what the Apostle Paul has done just in one individual traveling the entire width of the Mediterranean Sea. Oh, but where do we read about Spain? Well, turn over to Romans chapter 15. In Romans chapter 15, Paul says in verse 24, he says, whenever I go to Spain, I hope. He says, whenever I go to Spain, for I hope to see you in passing and to be helped on my way there by you when I first enjoyed your company for a while. On in verse 28, therefore when I finish this and have put my seal on this fruit of theirs, I will go on by way of you to Spain. Once again, the Apostle Paul preached throughout the Roman Empire, preached in major cities of the day such as Philippi, Thessalonica, Ephesus, Corinth, Athens, preaching the gospel and through his efforts. And those that he had converted, once again, we can look in Acts chapter 19, there beginning in verse 9, and we can see that the gospel was spread. This took place for 2 years. So that all who lived in Asia heard the word of the Lord, both Jews and Greeks. It doesn't say that they all obeyed it. But buddy, they all heard it. Through the efforts, through the workings of one individual. Now, does that say he talked to everyone? No. His conversions went out. And once again, he had that same charge, not only to teach them and to baptize them, but to further teach them all the things that the Lord had commanded him. And he committed that to others. And they went and they committed it to others. And so we can see that the Apostle Paul, in his own efforts, this isn't looking at all the other apostles. This is going separate and apart from what other Christians were doing and spreading the gospel throughout the Roman Empire. Paul himself carried the gospel. And it's interesting when we look at the words of the Apostle Paul that he uses there in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. That phrase, foolishness of the message preached. Look with me and look in verse 18. It says, for the word of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the cleverness of the clever I will set aside. Where is the wise man? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not come to know God, God was well pleased through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. What's the one thing we hear a lot? The way God set up the gospel, the way that God set up the church, you can't carry the gospel into the entire world in such a manner. The wisdom of this world says, no, it's just impossible. We've got to employ other things to carry that gospel. We've got to change the message so that we can reach more places. Change it to fit the people where we're going. Paul says, where's the wise man? Where's the great debater of this age? The wisest wisdom of the world is as the foolishness of God. And God chose through the foolishness of the message preached, the simplicity of the gospel. It says it's foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved. But there, it is the power of God. Now I want to close out our sermon this morning by looking at some things that Jesus said and some promises that have been given to us by the Scriptures. First of all, let's note that Jesus said this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached. Where? What does that say there?
It will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all the nations, and then the end will come. Folks, that's a guarantee. Jesus makes a promise. Jesus gives us the statement, it will be preached in the entire world. Are we going to call Jesus a liar? Are we going to say that His word is not true here? That's what we say when we say it's impossible for them to have carried the gospel throughout the entire world. Let's look at some other passages in Acts chapter 17. There in verse 6, they're looking for Paul and Silas. When they did not find them, they began dragging Jason and some brethren before the city authorities, saying, these men who have upset the world have come here also. Colossians chapter 1. The Apostle Paul is writing to the church there in Colossae. In Colossians 1, there in verse 5, he says, because of the hope laid up for you in heaven, of which you previously heard in the word of truth, the gospel, that gospel which has come to you, just as in all the world. It bothers me that many times people try to limit the power of the gospel by saying, well, when he's saying all the world, he's talking about all the Roman Empire. Now let's pause for just a moment. Now, yes, the wisdom of man at that time considered the Roman Empire being the world. But who's behind the writings of the Scriptures? Who's providing them with the verbal inspiration? This is what the world needs to hear. The Holy Spirit. So again, remember, Jesus said, I'll send you the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, and He'll provide you with everything you need to know. He'll remind you of everything I've taught you. These words are inspired of God, and so God approved this message that it has come to you just as in all the world. Also, it is constantly bearing fruit and increasing, even as it has been doing in you also since the day you heard of it and understood the grace of God and truth. Paul is saying, the way that it went through you here in Colossae, that's the way it's been going throughout the world, bearing fruit and increasing. Look further, verse 23 of that same chapter. He says, if indeed you continue in the faith firmly established and steadfast and not moved away from the hope of the gospel that you have heard, which was proclaimed in all creation under heaven. That's a large statement. The author of the New Testament, those, they were inspired, once again, by God through the Holy Spirit. Are we going to limit and say the Holy Spirit is not telling us the truth here? Saying the Holy Spirit's idea of the world and all of heaven wasn't a true understanding as we know it to be today? In Romans chapter 10, we oftentimes look at verse 17 where it says, so faith comes from hearing and hearing by the word of God. But let's go on and look in verse 18. Paul says, but I say surely they have never heard, have they? Isn't that what people say? Well, they haven't heard the gospel. It hasn't reached them yet. What does he say? Their voice has gone out into all the earth and their words to the ends of the world. Paul is writing this. Through what? Through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. God is guiding him in the words that he's writing. He says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And this word has gone out into all the earth. This word has gone to the ends of the world. Folks, we need to remember the Old Testament passage, let God be true and every man a liar. This is the word of God. God speaks of the power of His word, the power to be carried throughout the world. Let's not limit it. We can look further in Romans chapter 1. There in verse 8, once again, first, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all because your faith is being proclaimed throughout the whole world. Brothers and sisters in Christ, we need to quit limiting the power of the preaching of the gospel in that day and quit limiting the power of the preaching of the gospel today. That same gospel that was able to go out throughout the entire world through tiny little written documents and individuals traveling by foot, by ship, by horse, and by donkey, by camel, was spread throughout the entire world. You see,
We can see further in Acts chapter 24, there in verse 5. About Paul, it is said, "We have found this man a real pest, and a fellow who stirs up dissension among all the Jews throughout the world." Remember where we saw all those Jews that had come on the day of Pentecost, how far they had been spread throughout the Roman Empire? And these Jews are saying he's stirring up dissension among all these Jews. Folks, we need to understand one thing, and we'll close our lesson with this. Regardless of our feelings, regardless of what we think is possible, God has appointed a day in which He will judge the world in righteousness through a man whom He has appointed, having furnished proof to all men by raising Him from the dead. The day of judgment is coming. All of mankind will face that judgment. We read in Hebrews chapter 4, there in verse 2, "For indeed we have had good news preached to us, just as they also, but the word they heard did not profit them, because it was not united by faith in those who heard." Well, if they spread the gospel throughout the entire world, why don't we find churches in America? In South America? There's your answer. The Apostle Paul preached the same gospel in Athens that he preached in Corinth. Look throughout the Scriptures and find a congregation of Christians in Athens. It ain't there. Just because there's not a church does not mean that the gospel was not preached, because it did not profit them, because it was not united by faith in those who heard. Consider Ephesians chapter 2. As the Apostle Paul is writing to the church there in Ephesus, he says in verse 12, "Remember that you were at that time separate from Christ," speaking as before they were a part of the body of Christ, "excluded from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world." These Ephesians were at one time the very individuals that we read of in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 8. Where the Apostle Paul says that the Lord is going to return, dealing out retribution to those who do not know God and to those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. The Christians in Ephesus, before they obeyed the gospel, they were among those who did not know God. It's a great companion verse to this one. We can look in Ephesians 2 and we can see once again, "Remember that you were at that time separate from Christ, excluded from the commonwealth of Israel." They didn't know God. They had no idea. Paul says quite clearly that prior to their learning and obeying the gospel, they were excluded from the promises. No hope without God in the world. The people in Ephesus were among those who did not know God prior to Paul and Apollos' coming. I believe this verse is a great help in understanding this difficult one. But again, as the Apostle Paul said, through the foolishness of the preaching of the gospel, the opportunity was placed before them to hear the gospel and to decide whether to obey it or not. I want to close the lesson by saying we must have faith in the power of the Word of God. The same word that we have, it does not need to be altered. It does not need to be changed. We don't need to change the methods. We don't need to do anything. We can preach it just like they did. And folks, we can have the exact same result. Beginning with 12 individuals prior to the day of Pentecost, the gospel through those 12 individuals spread throughout the world. The Bible tells me so. And that's enough for me. I don't need to question the authority of the Word of God. When it says it went throughout the entire world, when Jesus said, "You carry it to the remotest parts of the world," I believe the apostles and those who obeyed the gospel carried out that charge. We've got to have faith in the justice and mercy of God, and we should be praying that those who have not heard the gospel yet will have the chance to hear it, and then we need to be doing what we can to make sure the gospel is carried to them. The Apostle Paul wrote in Romans chapter 1, there in verse 14, he says, "I am under obligation both to Greeks and to barbarians, both to wise and to the foolish. So for my part, I am eager to preach the gospel to you also who are in Rome. For I am not ashamed of the gospel. For it," the gospel, "is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek."
That's what we have today. That same power of the gospel is available to us today to preach the gospel, to spread it to the lost and dying of this world. Oh, but there are 6 billion individuals in this world. Yes, and there are several million Christians. We're going to look this evening at the tools that we have available. How much better a chance we have of carrying the gospel into the entire world than they did in the first century. They completed the task. Once again, doesn't mean everybody was converted. But they had the opportunity to hear the gospel. That's our charge. We don't have to baptize them. If they choose not to, that's their choice. As long as we're giving them the chance to hear the gospel, that's our charge. Throw the seed. Scatter a little water. And we can do the same thing that the apostles did in carrying the gospel throughout the entire world. Perhaps you're here this morning and you've never obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ. We read that God has appointed a day in which He will judge the world by Jesus Christ. The song that has been chosen. What will your answer be? Today could be that day of judgment. The Lord may be waiting until just this very moment to come. Are you prepared? When you stand before the Lord, what will your answer be? Someday you'll stand at the bar on high. Someday your record you'll see. Someday you'll answer the question of life. What will your answer be? Be a servant of the Lord today. Carry out your responsibility in spreading the gospel. Obey the gospel so that you can have that hope of eternal life in heaven. If you've already obeyed the gospel but you've remained stagnant, you haven't continued on as a child of God, you haven't carried out your responsibility in the spreading of the gospel, folks, that's a commandment that's given to all of us in whatever abilities God has given us to spread the gospel throughout the entire world. And we know that if we fall in just one commandment, we lose our eternal throne. If you're not fully serving the Lord as you should, make your life right with God this day as we stand and as we sing.